as this is the first Sunday in February, and we celebrate often the achievements, the advancements of those who would be so-called described as African Americans, I'm thankful to you, Sister Ursula, for bringing back to my remembrance a great law school graduate from FAMU, Bernice Gaines. And she, Ms. Gaines, graduated from the FAMU College of Law in 1954. And some of you who know me and know about my professional background and ties to FAMU, I'm so appreciative to Dr. Frederick Humphrey, President Humphrey, who, along with the founding general counsel, Bishop C. Hollifield, were instrumental in the reestablishment of the FAMU College of Law back in 1999. And it's a great history that sometimes is overlooked and leads us to a great man by the name of Virgil Hawkins. And because of his efforts to desegregate the law school at the University of Florida, the FAMU College of Law came into existence under the guise of separate but equal doctrine in the state of Florida. And Ms. Gaines was not only one of the first graduates to come out of the law school, but she was the first woman, African-American woman, to pass the bar exam. And so thank you, Sister Ursula, for bringing Ms. Gaines back into my attention. And one thing that she said, as a part of the article that was sent to me by Sister Ursula, she said that psychologically, I did not have any thoughts about being the first black woman to practice law in Florida because I did not even realize that I was in the process of making history. I never thought one way or another about whether there were black women practicing law in Florida. I just assumed that there were. After I passed the bar, Dean Jenkins told me that I was the first black woman to pass the Florida bar and that I had passed with the highest bar score of anyone from my school. I was kind of amazed. I was glad that he hadn't told me that I was making history until after I took the bar. So we want to salute Ms. Gaines and really give a shout out to all of the sisters in this country and in the world. Definitely give a shout out to my intelligent, beautiful bride, Shakita, for what she does and for what all of you do to make us strong in our community. Okay. Again, I ask that if you will place your phones on mute as we continue to share the word, it will be helpful to us as we record it. Please consider along with me chapter 2 of the good news recorded in the book of Matthew, chapter 2. I want to begin to read verse 1 through verse 12. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are coming to worship him." When Herod king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests, scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he searched, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. May the Spirit of God quicken the Word of God to penetrate our minds and our hearts to understand the will of God, so that we may conform to the image of Jesus Christ and indeed lean forward unto greater works. For the past several weeks, we have shared in the context of TWO, think up, word up, obey up. I believe scriptures is clear that how can two walk together unless they agree? And for us to walk on this earth in peace and in prosperity and in liberty, we have to individually and collectively agree God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. How can the body of Christ be awesomely, effectively in the year of 2022 unless we agree with the triune God? We would certainly come into more agreement with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost when we change our perspective and move beyond religion to really appreciate relationship. I'm praying for the people of God all over the world, and especially leadership in particular in the body of Christ, that we move from the doctrine of status quo and the tradition of ancestral ways to read and to study the scriptures, to find Christ and to know Christ. I submit to each of you that, again, I'm not a theologian, if you will, but I'm striving day after day to be a better Christologian. There are a lot of theologians out there who believe in God. They believe in God. But I am not only believing God, I believe in the God who was in Christ reconciling us back unto himself. So I'm a Christologian. Christologian. And every day, I am seeking to find Christ. As David said in Psalm 27, verse 8, when you say, seek you my face, my heart said unto you, your face, Lord, will I see. Family, the scriptures are not written to fit our situation, but written so we may find Christ in our situation. And our focus has to be on him. That's what the poem was about. That Sister Annette shared with us. Our focus must be on him. The scriptures are written, he said, concerning me, because Jesus Christ is preeminent. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we here today, we just preach him crucified. We just preach him alone. But he is, I say, crucified, buried, raised up, ascended, and now seated at the right hand of the Father upon the throne. Yes, he is Lord. As we consider our text this morning, I need for you to consider that often, please recognize this, that often during the season of Christmas, now I know we're in February, but please consider this, that often in the season of Christmas, there's a lie that is always portrayed, and it's the lie concerning the wise men were discussing in our text this morning. And I need to dispel the lies so that I can get to the subject of the sermon today in the house, in the house, in the house, in the house. In order to dispel the lies, I just want to share a few things with you here. And one, we don't know. We don't know. The scriptures, it's silent on this. We don't know how many wise men came to find the Christ child. We don't know if there was three or not. We know there was more than one because there were wise men in the end. But you will not find it written in the scripture that it was three. That's assumed because there were three gifts. There was the gold, there was the frankincense, and there was the myrrh. And so from the three gifts, some have suggested that there were three wise men, but we don't know. Two, we know that they didn't find Christ at the inn in the state. That's not where they found him. They found Christ in the house. They found him in the house. Look at verse 11 with me again. And when they would come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. They found him in the house in a place called Bethlehem, which means the house of praise. That will preach all by itself, because Jesus said, I am, hallelujah, the bread of life. But family, we need to be quickened in our minds to reject lies. Reject lies. Even in the form of nativity scenes and Christmas decorations, to know that Mary, Joseph, and the Christ child were not at the inn in a stable, but they were in the house when the wise men found them. Three. Just want to spell this other lie that, you know, when they found him, we don't necessarily know. We don't know at what time that they found him, and it probably could have been 4 months or so before the wise men actually saw and worshiped the herald king of the Hebrews. In fact, whatever the wise men shared with Herod about when they first saw the star appear in the east, when they didn't come back and tell Herod that, yeah, we found the Christ child, he got upset. Herod got upset, and he had all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof killed who were 2 years and younger. You'll see that in verse 16 of chapter 2, which reads, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth. He was hot, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." So based on the timing of the star's appearance in the east, as disclosed by the wise men, Herod had it in his mind that the king of the Hebrews could be no more than 2 years old or less, and he declared genocide on innocent children. And I hope, family, we are learning today, because see, the devil is not just Elijah. The devil is a deceiver, and he will come in a nativity scene to deceive us from what the scriptures say concerning Christ our Lord and Savior. And I just want to say that it's early in the year. Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Ursula. It's early in the year, but it's late in the evening, and it's time out for having a testimony or a sermon that is only based in that I heard them say. No, we need to be studying the Word of God and rightly dividing the Word of truth. We are in the hour that we need to know Christ for ourselves and that He is faithful and true. Now, it's not fables, it's not stories, it's not nativity scenes, it's not Christmas songs, it's not praise and worship melodies. It's the truth of the gospel. And now is the time. We're early in the year, but it's late in the evening. That they who worship the Father must worship Him, hallelujah, in spirit and in truth. Do we know that He is truth this morning? People of God all over this God-created world, we should not be afraid to study. Study. 2 Timothy 2 and 15. Study to show yourself approved, the work man, a work woman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study everything. We should not be afraid to study the star, if you will. Of course, don't get me wrong, of course, we rebuke any strongholds that exist that would suggest that we should look to the stars to be worshipped or the stars to be consulted so that we may know our place in this world and our purpose in God. I'm not advocating worship or consultation of anything above the triune God, but I am advocating that we study the stars, that we study astronomy, we study biology, we study physiology, we study psychology, we study economics and accounting principles and all other ologies that may be out there, because true science always follows the scripture. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, just so you appreciate what I'm saying, Genesis chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, and I read, "And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. God made two greater lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." But God made and saw in the third day, through the power of His word, the Logos, the pre-incarnate Christ, He decreed and declared was good. God made the sun, the moon, and the stars for our benefit, not for our worship, family, but for our benefit. That's why the farmers use an almanac to guide them in the science of sowing and reaping for a bountiful harvest. And so we find here today the wise men. They saw an unusual star in the east. But apparently they also had the Holy Scripture. And if I could use this phrase for this morning, the wise men, the magi, the scientists from the east, the scientists didn't just follow the science, they followed, hallelujah, the scripture. And family, it's all right to follow science when it lines up with the word of God, hallelujah. "Come ye out from among them and be ye separate," said the Lord. It's okay to come out and bubble up, mask up and vax up so we will be about our own salvation. Verily, verily, if you will, I say unto you again that true science always follows the word, because Christ is preeminent in all things. As it is written in the first chapter of Colossians, verses 16 and 17, it says this: for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. Help me, Holy Ghost. And, hallelujah, if I can say it like this, and he is before all sciences. And by him all sciences consist. Family, hallelujah. The wise men no doubt had within their library scriptures concerning the king of the Jews. But obviously they didn't have the book of Prophet Micah that had been actually written 687 to 750 years before the birth of Christ. And in chapter 5, verse 2 of Micah, he prophesied, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. The glory that we serve is from everlasting to everlasting. You see here that the wise men no doubt had within their mental arsenal enough to connect the dots between the stars in the east. Oh, this morning he is the bright, hallelujah, and the morning star. And it connects the star to the scripture. Oh, yes, he is the word, because he is the bread of life. And they connected the star to the scriptures to affirm, hallelujah, the prophecy of Micah. The scientists, the wise men, the magi from the east, is now what we call Iran and Iraq. The scientists from the east followed the scripture, and they went west. Hallelujah! Yeah, like the Church of God by faith is going west. The scientists went west, and they told the dead the good news about the living God. Yes, they did. And in verse 2 of the second chapter of Matthew's, the scientists, the wise men, they asked the question, where is he that is born king of the Jews? So we have seen his star in the east, and I come to worship him. Family, the political, the social and religious elite have missed the birth of the Savior. Think about that. The church had missed the birth of the Savior. They had missed it. And Herod inquired of them after the question was asked by the scientists. He went to the political, social, and religious elite and asked them about the birth of this so-called king of the Jews. Where are we to look? Where is he? And although they had missed his birth, hallelujah, at least they knew where to look. So they went to the scriptures, and they found the answer in the book of Micah. And they came back to Herod and informed him that the Christ child is to be born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. King Herod shared the exact location with the wise men, and they departed with not, so that in wisdom they could worship. Let me say that again. They departed with knowledge. They departed with more science, so that in wisdom they could worship, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding leads us to sincere worship of the King of Glory. The family, here's a question for us. Have we studied the time and the seat to see Jesus and to know Jesus so that we might worship him? Have we found him in the house? Have we found him in our hearts? Have we found him in our love? Have we found him in our relationships? Have we found him in our finances? Have we found him in our worship? Have we found him this morning? When the psychologist comes to check our minds out, the psychologist should find the King of Glory in the house, because the word says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. When the cardiologist comes to check our heart out, the cardiologist should find the King of Glory in the house, because the word says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. When the medical doctor comes to check on the status of our health, the doctor is finding the King of Glory in the house, because the word says, by his stripes, hallelujah, by his stripes, we are healed. Is there a doctor in the house? Is there a bomb in Gilead? Hallelujah, hallelujah. When the accountant comes to prepare and file our income taxes, the accountant should find the King of Glory in the house, because what is reaped, hallelujah, is more than what was sold, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We have been faithful over a few things, but the Lord is being even more faithful to make us ruler over much, manager over so much more. And Dr. Glenda, when the lawyer comes to give us a legal opinion, the lawyer should find the King of Glory in the house, because if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. When the lawyer comes to provide the legal opinion, the lawyer has to find the King of Glory in the house, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The laws, and I'm getting ready to close, y'all. The laws and the Constitution of this country gives citizens so-called statutory and constitutional rights. But the King of Glory gives his people power. That's right. The King of Glory gives us power. Peter, John, going up into the hour of prayer, says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto you. Take your bed, rise up, and walk. God has given us power. Power to tread upon the serpent and the scorpion. Power that if we take up any deadly thing, it shall not hurt us. The King of Glory gives his people power, and it comes with privileges. Who is the King of Glory?
His name
is Jesus.
Yes, sir.
What's his name? His name is Jesus. And where is this King of Glory?
My.
He is in the house. He is in the house. Do we seek him this morning? Do we want to find him this morning? If we do, now is a good time to come on then and let us praise him for his presence today. And let us praise him because he's in the house. Come on and let us confess Jesus Christ, because he is Lord and he is in the house. Come on and let us praise him as we prepare to commune with him even more. because he is in the house.
Amen.
Welcome.